Hello, I want to welcome you to Wednesday Night Talk. And I'm Dennis Tucker, the preacher of the Lilac Grove Church of Christ in Litchfield, Kentucky. But I got thinking this last week, a couple of days ago, about the first psalm. And the first psalm reads, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law he meditates day and night. He should be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season. His leaf shall also not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which wind drives away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish." The reason I wanted to talk about the psalm a little bit is that this last week, I was doing some things. In the mornings I have a routine where I get up and I do this kind of a workout. Now, before anybody says anything about this, let me just point out to you that it's taken me 63 years to get this body in the kind of shape it's in. I can't imagine what I've been like if I hadn't been working out. Okay, so don't judge me too harshly on this. But I get up like I normally do and I start doing my workout and my mind started thinking about various things. I started thinking about Sunday sermon and about what I wanted to preach. And I started trying to organize it somewhat in my mind as far as the topic and, again, the particular points I wanted to bring out in the lesson. And then also I got thinking about our children, about what they're facing, about how this quarantining is affecting their lives and our lives too, and not being able to see them. So I got dwelling on that somewhat and thinking about them and then I got thinking about those who lost loved ones. I had done a funeral the week before and it was unusual because of having no more than 10 people at the funeral. And the people there were being separated. They had to send chairs apart from each other. About how strange that was and how the fact that other people could not come to see them. So I was thinking about all these things and going from one topic to another topic and maybe going back to the first topic again. And before I realized it, my workout was just about over. Now, I'd done my workout routine, and I could tell because of the fact how my body felt, and I had, and you know, the sweat that usually comes from the routine, but really my mind was someplace else. And it dawned on me the benefit of exercise while thinking about really important things. About the idea of meditation, and that's what the writer talks about in his passage about the person meditates upon God's Word. Now, I could probably go and find various definitions of the word meditation. I maybe will go find a Greek definition and look up dictionary.com and find out what it was giving me as far as the definition of meditation. But in my mind, a very practical word for meditation is to get lost in your thoughts. You're thinking of something, and not to a point where, I don't mean lost in a sense, you kind of like, okay, what was the thing about? But I mean, you're so engulfed in your thoughts that everything else kind of melts into the background. And I'm sure about everybody has been that way, where you think about something so hard that whatever you're doing, you kind of, the focus is still upon what you're thinking on. Now, there are times it can be dangerous. Let's be fair about this. And driving a car, you don't want somebody totally zoning out, not realizing what they're doing, or a pilot that's piloting a plane, he doesn't need to be meditating on something to the point that he's unaware of where he's at, or the surgeon. I mean, there are certain things you want the person to think about while they're doing it. But there are things that we need to think on, dwell on, and among those things, primarily among those things, is God's Word. And that's what he's talking about here. And as he talks about the godly person here, the contrast is between the godly and the ungodly. And the ungodly is a person who sits in the council of the ungodly. The ungodly person is the person that is in a pathway of sinners. The ungodly person is in a seat of the scornful. And his delight not in the law of the Lord. And he doesn't do all things that are positive in this first psalm. Instead, he is like the person that does all the negative things in this first psalm. In the New Testament, maybe an equivalent of this passage somewhat in the New Testament is Philippians 4th chapter. And there in verse 8, the Apostle Paul says, "Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, Whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report. If there's any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you earned and received and heard and saw me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. It's interesting, there are times in Paul's writings that he reminds the reader about what they had seen and what they had heard in Paul. That they heard Paul preach the word of God. They had seen him do the very things that he's talking about in this passage. And so he says, we need to think about those things that are just. And as you go through the whole list there, he said, the result of that will be the God of peace will be with you. Now, our God is a God of peace. He gives us peace when we seek to do his word. The right relationship between he and us. You know, we have to do what he says. And we do that, then we have peace with God. But I also submit to you that he's talking here about the peace that we have in this world right now. That we need a sense of comfort. We need a sense of simply that everything's going to be okay. And so he said, when you think on these things, the God of peace will be with you. And so it's dwelling upon the word of God that's going to give us peace in this life. In 2 Timothy 2, verse 15, he said, be diligent to present yourself approved to God. A worker is not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And I notice he doesn't just say, now study your Bible. And that there's a difference between reading the Bible and studying the Bible and actually meditate upon the Bible. Anybody can read the Bible. But to think about what you're reading, that's important here. But even then, the next step is to go beyond just the reading and the thinking about, but be actually meditating upon the word of God. Now, in this passage here, 2 Timothy 2, verse 15, he says, be diligent. Be diligent. In other words, put forth effort to present yourself true to God. And he tells us how to do that, and that is rightly dividing the word of truth. And so we look here, and he says, when you do that, what? You're approved of God as a result of that. And so I said all of that because when we look back here at the first psalm again, and let's take a few verses here in this first psalm. In verse 2, and there it says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. When somebody likes what they're doing, when somebody values something and appreciates it, takes pleasure in it, that they want to do it, and they'll do it well. A person that has delight is in some kind of recreational activity, that person will put forth all the effort they can to do it well. And in this case here, it says, our delight is in the law of the Lord. It's in the word of God. And then he says, there's meditation. The meditation says, not just on Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night. But he said, his meditation is day and night. In other words, it's constant, it's consistent in his life that he's thinking about the word of God. And so he said, that's the first thing. The person whose delight is in the law of the Lord thinks about the word day and night. The second thing, verse 3, says he should be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth a season and a season whose leaf shall not wither and whatever he does shall prosper. The comparison of a person to a tree is kind of interesting. He doesn't just say a beautiful flower or a shrub or something on that lines, but a tree we think of being sturdy and being well-grounded and having deep roots. And he said, this tree, though, that is based on the word of God, and that is planted by the rivers of water, and it's going to produce fruit in a season. That's what he said. In other words, godliness is a fruit from the word of God. As a result of what God's word will bring when we apply it to our lives. And so we look here and think about our life and examine ourselves, and we're not growing as we should. Maybe the reason we're not reading and meditating upon the word of God. But then it goes on and says, whose leaf shall not wither. And then it gives us the idea of durability. You see, a tree planted by a river of water can withstand a drought. I remember when I lived up in Shoals, Indiana, in the springtime, or getting kind of towards springtime, and the leaves really hadn't started to come out yet on the trees, but I was on one farmer's field and up on the hill, and all of a sudden I saw a line of trees, and they had already had green leaves on them. And the reason is, all those trees were actually right along the river. that they were already prospering because they were so close to the water supply. When growing up, there was a tree just not too far away from my parents' house on the farm. And that tree always looked good. And one year there was a terrible drought. It had just a big drought and a lot of trees in the woods that turned brown and the leaves fell off. But that tree there did not. Later on, my parents decided to build a new house. And as I was digging in the basement, we found out why that tree did so well. And that is the spring of water that was literally feeding that tree. And so, like ourselves, that he says that if you are based upon the Word of God, then you're going to have durability. There's going to be trials in life. Just the fact is, there's going to be trials and problems in life. You're going to have those. But those who trust in God, those who use His Word, will not fade away. And then it says, whatever He does shall prosper. Now, the prospering here is, honestly, the idea of spiritual prosperity, doing well spiritually. And we think about, what does that mean, to prosper spiritually? Well, it means, among other things, to grow. As Christians, we're to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. We're to grow in our ability to serve Him. And as we take the Word of God and apply it to our lives, we're going to be better and better because we are based upon the Word of God. And then in verse 6 of this first Psalm, he says, "For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish." And when it says the Lord knows, it means more than simply have a knowledge of somebody existing. It means the idea of the Lord approves of those, that the Lord realizes who you are and He is happy or pleased with your manner of life. In the New Testament, 2 Timothy 2, verse 19, and there it says, "Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having this seal. The Lord knows those who are His, and let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity." He said, there's a case there that God knows every individual that is doing His will. The Lord knows that person, but the ungodly, He said, that person there, that they shall perish. They're going to be cast away from God. And so we have to look at this first Psalm as far as telling us how to ground our lives upon God's Word, and the results is going to be durability. It's going to be the idea of prosperity, and it's going to be the idea of being righteous and known by God as we live our lives and as we end this life also. And if ever there's a time for a need of God's Word, it'd be now. Now, I say that with some reservation because there's always a need for God's Word. But we can look here and realize that there's a lot going on right now, and people that have not built their world and their lives upon God's Word are the ones that are really hurting. But if we do this right, and we build our lives upon God's Word, no matter what's going to happen, we're going to be okay. And so that's the thought I want to leave for you at this time, and I appreciate you listening. I hope everybody has a good week.